grateful to have you here. If you're visiting with us and not a member of the Church of Christ, you are very honored and distinguished guest of the audience. Whether you're listening to us on conference call, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, outside these walls, we are noticed that you're experiencing New Testament pattern of worship, where we sing without the help of mechanical instruments or music. That's why we don't have a choir. The whole congregation sings and worships God individually. You must sing to him for yourself. You must pray to him yourself. You must take communion and think about him yourself. And you must give for yourself. And you must worship for yourself. So collectively, we're coming together, but individually, we speak into ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs.
Amen.
Singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. So God is the audience in worship. Not us. We're not here to be entertained, and we won't put on no show for you.
Amen.
God is the audience. He's listening, and God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him how?
In spirit and in truth.
So we thank you for visiting with us. We pray that you would, like us, believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. How many of y'all believe the Bible is right?
Amen.
I believe the Bible is right. And if you're going to go to heaven, you're just going to have to do it the way God said do it. That's all it is to it. Someone said B-I-B-L-E means basic instructions before life ends. I don't think that's correct. I think it's believer's instructions before life ends.
Amen.
See, there are a lot of people who have to get the basic instructions, but they don't believe it.
Mm.
If you don't believe it, you're not going to obey it.
Amen.
And you don't want life end without obeying the word of God.
Amen.
So that's why we believe that Jesus was on the cross and died. And we never saw that, but our faith in him being on that cross for 6 hours and shedding blood comes from the written word of God. Faith coming by what?
Hearing
by the word of God. No, we wasn't there. We believe in Jesus. And so therefore we believe that this book has all the right answers. Also, Jesus said it wasn't going to be but a few to make it. Y'all know that, right? Matthew chapter 7:13, he said, enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, leads to destruction. The world don't want to believe this, but Jesus said it. Many would go that way. Then he said, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, to lead to life. America don't want to believe that. The world doesn't want to believe that. Catholicism doesn't want to believe that. Denominationalism don't want to believe that. T.D. Jakes don't believe that. Joel Osteen doesn't believe that. They believe many people are going to heaven. But if we say we believe Jesus, then what are we going to believe now? He said, few there be that find it. That's what he said. And now, we believe that. We're pretty narrow-minded right down to what the Bible has said. And that lead into my lesson this morning. The lesson, I hope you enjoyed the Juniper Tree series. And I'll do another one now. A lot of Old Testament examples. The Bible says, whatsoever things written aforetime, written for our learning. So I'm not going to rush. That's why I'm doing them in parts, so we'll kind of keep it short and sweet, but get some main thoughts out of this thing. And this is the part one of the lesson entitled, I Cannot Go Beyond the Word of the Lord. I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord. Can y'all say that?
I cannot go beyond
the word of the Lord. Now, did you mean it?
Mm.
Let's see. Hopefully from this study we will learn that it's important that you're not only stating something God says, but you're listening to it. You're actually hearing what God is saying. Number two, you should learn from this study how to avoid identify your self-will while saying you're listening to God, yet following your own will in your life. Number three, you should learn that your own personal desires and temptations can influence you.
Yeah.
And influence you to follow your own will or your own decisions because it's your personal desire, yet you do it in the name of the Lord. Then number four, which we'll get to in part two or three, there are consequences. For when we make statements like, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord, and then we do it, and it angers God, there are consequences when we do more or less than what God told us to do. You know, I'm starting to think the older you get, you ought to start trying to do some of these things. I'm saying that to all of us because as a Christian, you can say a lot of things, but don't mean it. But as you get older in life, you want to mean what you say when it comes to God. You want to mean what you want to know God said, and I want to know I'm doing it. I don't want to miss it by doing a little bit more than what he said or doing a little less than what he said. And that's why we get narrow-minded. And then what we're going to be talking about is a guy named Balaam. Balaam and Balak, the Moabites, and Moab, and God and Balaam and Boag, Balak, and there will be a donkey in the end of the story. An ass. This man going to ride on him. And we won't get to him today. This guy Balaam is mentioned three times in the New Testament. The first place in 2 Peter chapter 2. And in verses number 15, the Bible says there, 2 Peter chapter 2, turn your Bible there, in verse 15. In 16, and then we're going to go to Jude 11, 1 in verse 11. Then Revelation 2 in verses number 14. So the New Testament writers, the apostles, they mention this guy Balaam, whom I'm going to be talking about from the Old Testament. The Bible says,
which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness.
First thing you learn about him was that he loved the wages of what? Unrighteousness. Read.
But was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet.
And he's referred to as a prophet. And then, but this dumb ass, talking about the donkey, we'll see a fool on a mule at the end of the story. Y'all know a donkey we call a mule, right? I like to think of him as a fool on a mule. You're going to see this fool. Not this week, though. In verse 11, chapter 1 of Jude 1, he says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam.
For reward and perish in the
game. So Balaam misled people. We can see he loved the ways of righteousness, and the Bible reveals that this prophet has error for his reward. And then it says, and perished
in the gainsaying of Kor.
And then Jesus reveals in Revelation chapter 2, verse 14, he says, but I have a few things against thee.
Because thou hast dared
because
them.
Because thou hast
dared them
dared
that hold.
That whole, there's a teaching, a doctrine of Balaam, who taught
Balak
to cast a stumbling block,
before the children of Israel to eat things
sacrificed
unto idols and to commit fornication.
He left the truth. So we see it's revealed in the New Testament. Let's go back to the Old Testament and actually look at the case of this guy on his fall. Now, one of the things you need to do is kind of make this application about you. Because I'm going to try to come back in the end and really make application and apply to yourself. But let's look at this. Let's look at this verse. Now, the key verse is verse 18, Numbers 22. Jump down there and read that. Here's the key verse that I want you to keep in mind while I pull my sermon title from.
And Balaam,
answered
and said unto the servants of
Balak, unto the servants of Balak,
if Balak would give me his
said,
power.
He sound real good here. He said, man, if Balak would give me
his house
full of
silver and gold, I cannot
watch
go.
Him now. Watch him.
I cannot.
Oh, he's making a good statement right here. He said, I cannot
go beyond
the word of the Lord. Notice what he says. I'm gonna add to it. He said, to do
less
than the word said,
or more.
Don't he sound good? This prophet sounds like he got it going on, don't he? That's the key verse. Now go back up. Let's see what all transpired here. Because you know we're gonna learn from Romans 15:4. The Bible said, "Whatsoever thing written aforetime, written for our learning." So what do we learn from the Old Testament? We don't believe in the Old Testament. You know, we don't sacrifice no goats and bulls, and we don't altar worship anymore. We don't sing and dance like David, like people want to be. You know, David had instruments, but David killed bulls and goats. Do you? You don't see no Christian herding no goats to the church building. Why? They're not under this law. What is the Old Testament for? Our learning. God stopped that law and put a new one in place. And the best thing to understand, like I told one old lady, came here visiting with me one time, and we was talking about instrumental music, and she was came to one of my VIP classes. I encourage you to come one-on-one talk to me if you're considering becoming a member of the Church of Christ. And I had told her about it. She said, "Bruce Brooks, I understand why we don't have instruments in me." I said, "Do you understand that? Do you got driver's license?" She said, "Yeah, I got a driver's license." I said, "Now, if the old law is 75, and legislators changed it to a new law that says on this freeway you can only drive 55. Now, as a licensed citizen of America, of the United States, which law will you get a ticket for? Would it be the old one of 75? Or must you drive the new one to keep from getting a ticket? What y'all say? Everybody with a license, got your face on it, ought to know. You ought to know if the sign say 55, you're going to get a ticket when the man put the lights on you. If you don't try, you'll see. Now, at the end of the class, and I said, now, some people want to go in the Old Testament and live on there. That's okay. If they do, you can do that. But you should have known to be a citizen of heaven, there's a new law. You better know if you're going to get a driver's license. You got to know the new law, right? So he said, yeah. So you got to have a new law. So, yeah, that's why we don't use instruments in churches of Christ. Because we follow a new law. What he's saying, not going to go beyond or do more or less. Sing. And so anyway, the story goes, she walked down the aisle at the end. I was given an invitation. She's going to walk down to the cloud. Then she came down on a walker, and I thought, sure, she was going to tell me off because she's an older lady. She grew up in the Baptist church, like many of my family members, good people. Nothing wrong with the people. But she came. I said, "Brother Brooks," she said, "yes, ma'am." She said, "Can you baptize me?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "I don't want no ticket." She had to give up the instrument. A few years later, she gave up the instrument. Faithful member of the Lord's church, died in the church, a true church, singing and speaking themselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Oh, no, we don't do none of that. Tithing either. That's Old Testament. Yeah. Nobody's tithing today. Yeah, it makes you wonder why people go get doctorate degrees and don't understand we're not tithing. Interesting. Smart folk. Right. Yeah. You think they know better. Mm-hmm. Now, and the children of Israel, verse 1.
Set forward
and pitched in the plains of Moab.
On this side of Jordan by Jericho.
And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw that all Israel had done to the Amorites. So they knew that Israel was some bad people. God was with them, right? And so Moab was so afraid of these people. Why?
Because they were many.
It was a bunch of them, man. They were distressed.
And Moab was distressed
because of the children of Israel. So Moab is these people, a bunch of them, and they already destroyed the Amorites. They may be coming after us. And Moab said to the elders,
elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are around about us.
Going to lick all around about us as the ox licks up the grounds of the field. They're going to clean us up.
And Balak, the son of Zippor.
So the king.
Was king.
Was Balak king? He was king of the Moabites, which are the Moabs. Now, here's the beginning of the problem, because the children of Israel had finished their wandering in the wilderness. God just got through dealing with them And Moses had to put the serpent on the pole because the snakes were biting them. And before that, now they're up in Moab, the plains of Moab near Jordan. They're trying to get to the promised land. And now here we have they feared the Moabites, and they needed not to fear the Moabites if they knew what God had said to Moses about them. God had given Israel told them not to contend with the Moabites in Deuteronomy 22, and he told them that the Moabites were not to be touched. God had told them that. He told them, distress not the Moabites, Deuteronomy 2:9. Just give you reference there. So the Moabite was in good shape. However, they didn't know at the time, and Balak didn't refer to God's word to understand that did they have a need to be fearing these people, Israel, and they wasn't. However, this is the beginning of the fall. Now, verse 5, he says,
he sent messengers therefore unto Balaam,
the son of Beor,
to Pethor.
Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people.
To call them, saying, behold,
there is a people that come from Egypt.
Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me.
So Balaam, it comes into the picture now. And so Balak says, go down and get Balaam. Balaam had been a great prophet. So he had done some things, because he was okay with God right about here. So he had done some things. And they knew he had these abilities as a prophet. They had heard of him doing good and doing evil. But they looked upon him just as a man of God and with interest with God. So that God will depart from this guy because Balaam looked holy. But we're getting ready to see the other side. And that's what I say. The beginning of the fall, some folk can be holy, but then you see the fall has to take place. And there's a fall taking place when we leave the Word of God. Amen. Many have fallen because they've left the Word of God. The beginning of the fall is the beginning of when you choose to go and do more or less than the Word says. Listen carefully and apply it for yourself. Listen to it. Peter had already said this guy was a prophet, but this guy loved the wages of unrighteousness. That's what happened to him. The Bible says in James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. But he says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then he says, then when lust hath conceived, he bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished bringeth forth death. He said, do not err, my beloved brethren. James 1:13-16. So we are to be warned, all of us, that we can be enticed. And this is the lead in to what's getting ready to happen to him on his fall. He was enticed. God didn't tempt him. He was drawn away of his own, what? Lust. Verse 6 in Numbers 22.
Come now, therefore.
So they tell him,
I pray thee, curse me this people.
So Balak sends to him, say, hey, come up here and take care of these people for me. They are what?
They are too mighty for me.
Too mighty.
Peradventure, I shall prevail.
Balak said, I want to win this thing. There's too many for me to win by myself. You come help us that we may smite them.
That I may drive
them out of Moab. I'm going to drive them out of Moab.
For I wot not that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest.
So they believe that Balaam, whoever you bless will be blessed, whoever you curse will be cursed. So they got this idea that Balaam can help them. And the elders of Moab
and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination.
Now here come those wages of unrighteousness.
And they came
to
Balaam.
What did they leave with? So we're going to take to Balaam. Rewards of divination. And he says now,
and they came,
they came unto Balaam and spoke
unto him, the words of Balak.
They told him what Balak said. Now here he is. And he said unto them.
And
Lord,
hear this night, and I will bring you word again as the Lord
shall speak
unto me.
He said, now what y'all need to do is you stay right here tonight. And what I want to do, I know the request came from Balak. He said, I will bring you a word from the Lord. The Lord going to tell me what the answer is. And the princes of Moab are bold with Balaam. Now he's considering these rewards, these wages of unrighteousness has been offered to him by Balak to come and deal with God's people. Balaam was no stranger to Israel's case and character and had heard that God was with them. He knew that the truth of God was with Israel. So he shouldn't have even go along with this. He should have just simply said, those are God's people and they ain't coming. Right? Mm-hmm. He already knew the right answer was to tell them, no, I'm not doing it. But he said, well, hold on. See, these rewards caught his eye. So now he said, well, I'll tell you what. Y'all, let me go to the Lord and ask him, is it okay this time? And then he says,
and God came unto Balaam and said.
Now, God come to Balaam, he says, now watch with God. I like the way God deal with him. Because God said to him this. He said, now,
what men are these with thee?
Who these folk? Who these people? Yeah. Yeah. See, y'all don't think God knew? Yeah, he knew. He understanding now. What kind of people done got you to try this? You want to know what kind of people that'll try get you to try stuff like this? Huh? Evil people. Yeah. Remember when the devil said, Paul, I know.
Jesus,
I know. But who are you? See, the devil don't have no respect for you. And don't you think he's your friend? And God is saying, who is this person? Now, here he is. He says,
And Balak said unto God.
So Balak responds to God. He said,
Balak, the son of Zippor,
yeah, you know,
king of Moab, has sent unto me,
yeah,
saying.
Balak, the king Moab, sent to me. No, no, you hear him. Y'all see this guy, don't you? Now, he's telling God what done happened. God know already. But he said, there's a people. Come out of Egypt with cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them, peradventure yourself. He's just repeating what Balak told him. And God said something.
Unto Balaam.
Yeah.
Thou shalt
now,
not go
now,
with them.
Now, he knew he shouldn't go. See, some of it, well, I just didn't know. Yeah, you know. See, you know in most cases what's right and wrong.
Amen.
But you want to do the wrong. And so you're hoping God will look grace. And that's what they give us today in the mirror. Oh, boy, you know, you can do wrong because that grace going to cover all the other stuff up. That's that grace doctrine, people. See if any grace here. He said, God said,
no,
I shall not go with them. I shall not curse the people. They blessed. He already knew that. If he really, truly interested in doing the will of God and was hearing God's word, then the first time God say something to you, you don't have to go back to him again.
That's right.
Verse 13, Balaam rose up in the morning.
And said unto the princes of Balak, you into your land.
Y'all go ahead on, go back home.
For
the Lord told
to
me I can't
me
leave
to
go with you. And the prince of Moab rose up
and
they went back to
Balak and said to Balak,
refused to come.
Come
he went back and told him, he ain't coming. Let's go on. Now he says, and
Balak
said
again.
Now, so the devil don't stop the first time. He's trying to get you off. He's trying to get you off track. See, God done already told you what was right. But just because you heard God say what was right, God is not the one influencing your decisions.
Amen.
So Balak sent again to him. This time I'm going to give him a bigger temptation. I'm sending again princes,
more honorable than they.
They came to Balaam
and
said to him, Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing.
I pray
they said, man, we don't care what God told you. Don't let nothing stop you. The devil is bold. Don't let nothing stop you from getting your church if you want one. Don't let nothing stop you from telling the people what they want to hear. That's what America preachers are doing. Don't let nothing stop you from getting your money. Put your name on the building. Call it what you want. Don't let nothing stop you. Call yourself reverend. No, God said, holy reverend is my name. But go ahead on and do it. And don't let nothing stop you. Call no man father. Matthew 23:7-9. Men out here, doctors and fathers, everything but brother. What God said, for ye are all brethren. And nothing will stop them from doing it. The devil is bad. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus said Balak the son of Zippor, Let nothing hinder thee from coming unto me. Then he said, here's your benefit for doing what I say and don't do what God said. I'm going to promote you with great honor.
Great honor. And I will do what
you say. I will do whatever you say. I'm going to make you the big man of the audience. I'm going to make you greater than anybody else right here to the king. I'm going to make you greater than these honorable princes I sent to you. Whatever you tell me, I'm going to do it. Boy, he's giving him all the power. And some men in the church, all they want is power. Amen. When you have a power hungry leader, he's from the devil.
Amen.
And they ain't taking it back. People are seeking power. It's devilish. I'm just coming down your road. If I come down your road, you don't want to wave on some of that. You don't want nobody to know I'm talking about you. But when you don't mind I'm talking about you, can go ahead and raise your hand. But a power-seeking leader ain't going to raise his hand. Take away all his glory. He said, I do whatever they say. He said, come therefore, I pray thee, curse me, this people. And Balak answered and said, the servants of Balaam, if Balak would give me this house
full of silver and gold.
Oh, talk. I cannot go beyond the word of my Lord to do less or more. Here it is. He's sound and spiritually focused. However, he is not focused on the will of God. He's now focused on his own will, even though he's stating this. Many of us walk around quoting scriptures, doing what we want to do. He said, now, therefore, I pray you that you carry on. He said, now, tell him again. Y'all, hold on. He done went to God one time. Now, he said, y'all wait here. I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to go again and see if God changes his mind. You think God going to change his mind on the day of judgment? How many of you all believe you're going to get up there and go, well, I didn't mean one church. I didn't mean baptism. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. I changed my mind. All y'all going to be saved. All of you good. As long as you got a good heart, you know I knew your heart. I didn't mean, I lied in that book. I ain't going to keep the promise of heaven. I'm not going to keep the promise of hell. I think God going to change his mind because you go back to him again because you want to do what you want to do. Or is he going to hold us accountable to not go beyond the word of the Lord? I'm going to make some applications here shortly. And I'm going to try to finish it shortly here. Now, therefore, I pray you that tell you this night. Tell them I may know what the Lord says. Wait a minute, Balaam. Why are you going back? You just tell the people that he said no the first time. That's it. But now you've been tempted, haven't you? Yeah. You want this high-ranking position. You want all this promotion. You want this honor, don't you? Yeah. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him. Now watch carefully here. Watch this carefully. Everybody, circle that little word if right there. Now, if you sleep, wake up at this point of the sermon right here. This part you really don't want to miss. At least you can go back and say, I got that verse. The verse here has one word in it that needs to be understood. Condition.
If the men come to call thee.
If the men come to call thee.
Rise up and go.
Rise up and go with them. But yet the word I say unto thee,
that shalt thou do.
So I'm going, you can go. And when you go and tell them exactly what I told you. So he ain't going to change his word. But he's giving him a condition. You can choose. Yeah, he said, if they come to call you. Which means he told them, he said, y'all wait over here. I'm going to come back. He goes to God. God said, don't go to them. Just wait till they come again. And then you go. Got it? Look at the verb. And then
Balaam rose up in the morning.
What? Hold on. What happened?
And Balaam rose up in the morning.
Why is he leaving? The condition was what?
If they come to you.
They didn't come to him, did they? Balaam didn't hear nothing God said. Balaam was ready to go. All he heard God say, rise up and go. But he missed, if the men come, call thee. So Balaam said, I can't do no more. God said less. But he didn't hear what God said. He only heard, rise up and go. Because guess what he wanted to do? Rise up and go. So you get the part of the scripture that you want. And you leave out what you don't want. That's what folk do.
Amen.
and notice verse 22. I'm going to stop there. And God's anger
was kindled because he went.
Now, somebody said, well, God, you told him to go. See, if you misread that, you'll think God told him to go and then God came back. No, God never told him. He said, if they call you, go. He never told him to just get up and go. So Balaam was so excited, God, he heard the word go, Brother Smith. He was so excited that he heard God say go, he just got up and gone. He got his got up and gone. But he was got up and gone. All Balaam could see was princes and power and gold and silver and pomp. He was going to be somebody.
That's all he could see. But I got to go.
Sound is spiritually focused. He says, Balak will give me this house full of silver and gold. I cannot go. I cannot go to do more than less. Got up and gone.
Now, let me close this and make some applications to it. I'm going to stop on that verse. Did he listen?
No. Are you listening? You answer. Did he abhor pursuing what was tempting him? No. Was his personal desires and temptations, did they influence him going? Yes or no? So here we give you a few today. Some hear God's word say, seek ye first. But you keep putting that job, that education, that career, and your children, everything before God. You hear God say, forsake not the assembly, and Hebrews 10:25, yet you continue to be on a part-time basis. Or you choose to go the route of the convenience store, and you stay at home, and ain't nothing wrong with you. Your conference calls are for sick and shut in and providentially hindered people, but because it's convenient for you, you use it as a convenience store now. You know you ought to be in an assembly. So, brother, we didn't assemble. Yes, we didn't. Providentially hindered. Didn't have a place to come to. Pandemic. And we now have a medium to help the people who are sick and shut in and physically unable to come here. They can still hear us preach.
Amen.
Thank God for that avenue. Yeah. But now that we're able, if you're good and able to get up and come, you ought to get up and come. But if you don't want to get up and come, it ain't going to matter what you want to do. You're going to do what you want to do anyway. So you hear God's word saying, study, show thyself approved. Yet you don't study. And you got a little bit of what I said this morning. You hear God's word saying, what's required to be an elder, you know you qualify. We're not pursue it as if you don't qualify. Are you one who wants to be an elder or some other office in the church and you know you don't qualify, but you want to make a way to qualify? You're a man who understands that you got to be the husband of one wife to be an elder or a pastor, which rules out any woman ever being a husband of one wife, but because she or she want to be an elder or a pastor, they'll ignore what God said.
And the brother who had two or three wives, if he'd followed the scriptures, he'd understood the only reason for divorce was a fornication. Join us Wednesday night, or adultery. But then you got those who want to make these hypotheticals up. Then you want Brother Stroud or myself to go do more or less. What about this? What about that? God said adultery.
Amen.
He didn't do this more or less stuff. You can't put no man in a position, but if you want to marry, you ought to think about that before you say I do, because divorce, only option for a divorce is that your spouse committed adultery.
But you don't want that. You want us to add to it.
And then the premarital people, you ought to be thinking about who you marry before you marry.
Amen.
Many of you done got in trouble. You talking about you was in love, you was in lust. You trying to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Married a rascal is no good. He's not spiritual. She's not spiritual. And both of you going to lose your soul because you're going to divorce because he tagged your head. And then you're going to want to come to Brother Brooks and say, Brother Brooks, I can divorce him because he's been beating on me. Brother Brooks ain't going to go more or less than the scripture says.
Amen.
We'll give you no approval.
You can prove it yourself. Deal with God on your own. But don't ask me to prove it.
That's what they want us to do, Brother.
Ah, some of y'all in here like that.
You know, you got people who say they want to be a elder. And you know you can't be no woman can be the husband of one wife.
Ain't a woman living can be that. But because she wants to be a pastor, she going to ignore that scripture.
Now, to hear the word of God say, I'm just give y'all a couple more and I'll stop. Because y'all getting a little nervous. Somebody thought, damn, I'm going to come down your street, ain't you? Yeah. You know, this has got these men who supposed to love their husband, love their wife, like Christ loved the church. And you tagging her head, bro. You talking about that love. You know better than that. Wife who Christ says, you know he says submit. I'm in Ephesians 5 to your husband as your head. But you refuse to do that. See, on your way to heaven, I cannot do more or less. Are you less than the wife God wanted you to be?
Amen.
Are you less than the husband God wanted you to be, my brother?
Amen.
Somebody, we say, for better or worse than sickness and health, when things get bad, we didn't mean that, Bob. Then, it's time for me to go. Why? Your first list done got long?
But you said, before God, I take this woman to be my lover, wedded wife, to have and hold from this day forward, for better or worse, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. And as soon as you get upset at something, death ain't got nothing to do with the departure. It's the lawyer and divorce court.
Go home, Brother Brooke. It's time, I know. I'm about to stop here. I mean, you got to hit the male and female thing. Everybody wants us to go along with same-sex marriage and homosexuality when God made them male and female. You think Brother Brooke's going to ever marry a woman to a woman? No. Y'all might ask, that's more than God said.
Amen.
He made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You think I'm going to do that? No. They're going to try to force that on religious organizations. Not here. No, ain't happening. And anyone who think, you know, and they got the doctors telling them, the kid 2 or 3 years old, you know, even though the doctor see you look like a boy when you came out, that don't mean you're a boy. He could have made a mistake. Y'all know they telling our children that stuff? They saying the doctors don't know now. The doctor can't tell you about looking at your genitals. They that don't mean you're a gift. Because you got that don't mean you that. Well, you don't understand this. Ain't a hog, a dog, or a cow misunderstand the difference between a male and a female. Only mankind, because God created them, and God because man sought out and invented his own inventions. God made him upright. But he give man the choice to do whatever he want to do.
And people are doing it. They didn't want us to be saying, go along with it. Let me close this, because if I don't put this out, I won't stop.
Let me stop. Because you got people who want to be saved, and Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, every creature he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And then you got these preachers out there say, well, he's saved. He that believes and baptized shall be saved. But you ain't really got to be baptized. See, baptism is just an outward sign of inward grace. Now, that's more or less.
Amen.
In Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I said, baptism don't say, well, the more than what Peter said. Peter said, 1 Peter 3:21, baptism does also now save us. But you want to be saved without being baptized. But the Bible said there's one church, Ephesians 4:4, one body. But you want a constitutional freedom to attend the church of your choice. Ephesians 4:4 said there is one body. Colossians 1:18 tells us the body is the church. Colossians 1:24 tells us the body is the church. So if there's one body, there's one church. If there's one God, and there's one Lord, and there's one faith, and there's one baptism, I can't go more or less than one. Somebody said, that's a matter of interpretation. No, when you learn proper math, one means
one. It ain't interpretation, you don't believe it. You want to go more or less? And then you go, I can't go beyond what the word of the Lord said. Give me a word of the Lord.
I give you a word of the Lord. You cherry pick it. You take the part out you enjoy. The rest of you spit it out. You don't want it.
So then we preach it. And then here we are this morning. Well, we're going to get the song, Spounds of Freedom. That's part one.
Amen.
Yeah. Boy, I got a lot of other stuff I wanted to say. It's just time in your life. A lot of folk in the church is doing, man, you just doing what you want to do. Man, you just all be able to look at your life. Every one of us, let me put myself in there so you know I feel like I'm just picking up. All at some point, you ought to be able to look at your own life, knowing that heart could stop any time. And say, I need to stop this foolishness that I'm doing. Because you know what you're doing ain't right. You know what you're doing is going beyond what God told you to do. And you know exactly what I'm talking about right now without me mentioning it. And I'm going to tell you who else knows. God. You here today, you want to be saved. Here's what you got to do. Here's what you got to do. First of all, you got to believe this book's right. If you believe this book right, it says, first thing you got to do to be saved is hear the word of God. More specifically, Acts 15:7, hear the word of the gospel. Number two, you got to believe it, Hebrews 11:6. If you don't believe this book, it won't help you. There's no sense in us quoting scripture from a book a person don't believe in. Number three, you got to repent. You got to say, man, I'm on the wrong track. Luke 13:3. Jesus said you're going to perish if you don't make this change. Number four, you got to be willing to confess Jesus before men. For Jesus said, he that confessed me before men, I will confess before my Father. If you deny me, I'm going to deny you. That's Matthew 10:32-33. Number five, you must be baptized because it was commanded by the same man you said you believe in, Jesus. Stop saying you believe him if you don't want to be baptized because he said it. He said it. That's an oxymoron. I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe what he said. Jesus said, if any man hear these words of mine and doeth them, I would liken unto him as a wise man. If any man doeth these words of mine, hear these words of mine, doeth them not, like unto him a fool who built his house on the sand, and the winds blew and came, and great for the fall of that house. If you're here today and you want to be a Christian, understand one thing you need to do is put your self-will aside and obey the will of God and never go beyond more or less than what God told you to do. If he told you to take communion every Sunday, you best be taking that communion every Sunday. If he didn't say take it every day, you best not be taking it every day. Amen. And you get born again of the water and of the Spirit right here. The water is ready to close. The red angels are on standby. If you want to come, the fountain is free. The fountain is free. The song lane has been beckoning. He didn't move. But he did then. See, I can't do more or less than what he said. At this point, I want to say to those who are listening, I have talked to those who are not members of the Church of Christ about salvation, initial salvation. The second phase is this. If you know you should have repented and you haven't,
If you know you should have made a confession and you haven't, you obey them. You obey them. And the end result won't be good. Because if God get angry, things happen. And we'll see next week, some things start happening. Just like Elijah got in the cave, the earthquake starts shaking. God can shake up your life while you're doing this stuff. Shake your life over the earthquake, rain down storms of problem on you. But until you hear his voice, you're not going to move. And when you hear his voice, you move based on what God has said to do. So we're going to move this morning. If you want to be baptized, come to the front. If you need to make a confession or ask for prayer, do it right where you're standing. As together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.